Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. Jerry Springer has died, and I think a lot of people hate him in the right. Angry Sicilian says his show is a symptom of how far our society has fallen. But personally, I've been a big fan of Jerry Springer. I used to watch his shows when I was a child, coming back from school, and there wouldn't be much things at this particular hour, and I would go on the English channels, and there he was, Jerry Springer, always entertaining, always crazy. And to me, he's been a great artist of a new style of art, this kind of Royal Rumble type of TV reality. In studio, live performance, who knows how many of these people were paid actors, how many were doing it for the show and weren't really laying out their true life stories. I have no clue, but it was very entertaining to me. It was using the tele medium in a way that was anthropological to a certain extent. And let me tell you, I've been watching again his shows today. There's something reassuring from this period. Like, of course, he was featuring stuff that would eventually make it into mainstream culture, like trans people. There's so many trans cases on his shows. But he was doing it in a way where there was place still to be counter this, to be, oh my God, you're trans. I don't want to fuck you anymore. And it's almost impossible that you would have something like this show in today's world. And when I was watching these segments, I was like, there's something that feels really 90s to this show that we can't have anymore. We can't have good things anymore. I'll just show you a couple of clips that have dragged my attention. So this is the story of a stripper who wants to move in with her cowboy new boyfriend that she met online, but the cowboy has another girlfriend. It's a typical Jerry Springer situation.
Well, she's here. She's backstage. You didn't know that he had a girlfriend? Well, here's Roxanna.
I mean, is this reality, or has this been a super casted white woman, cleaner, more beautiful dress compared to the black stripper? No matter whether they've achieved it with fiction or reality, it strikes right at the heart of all identities of America. Like, you can see this girl is a higher value girl than the stripper, black, whore. And you can feel, this is what I love about Jerry Springer, is it puts things in your face through artistic construction that makes you realize things about American society. There is a tension. The tension of class is right here. You have here definitely a higher value woman being dumped by a stupid man who's going for the black stripper.
Hi.
Are you really moving her in with you?
If she needed a place to stay.
But we were supposed to move in together. We planned this.
How long have you guys been together?
We've been together for 10 months.
Well, you say she's dressing more conservative than the black woman. Of course, the black woman is dressed as the stripper that she is. You can see in her jaw structure that she has this stripper, drugged lifestyle. You can see her eyes are not connecting very much. I mean, she truly is a stripper. There's no chance that this guy will tame her into a trustable girlfriend. Of course, he's much better with this girl, who is alarmed that he would be going with her. Now, I'm not telling you that I believe all these details. Is she paid by Jerry Springer to be like that? Is this girl an actress? I have no idea. But no matter what, when you watch Jerry Springer, you just enjoy the situation that is created in front of your eyes. It doesn't matter, really, if it's fiction.
So you started talking to her right after we got together.
Pretty close to it.
She's just some dirty prostitute.
And I love to see the clash of classes that you could see on TV. Today, we'd be stuck at, it's okay. She has the right to be a prostitute. Why don't you respect her difference? I love that it was right in your face and that you could say it then.
Like, why would you want that? Why would you want some dirty whore?
Well, we don't. It's a new experience.
It's a new experience. Okay.
I mean, sorry. It is.
You don't really seem sorry.
Well, maybe your relationship wasn't secure in the first place.
Honey, you don't get to speak. You don't get to speak. Trust me, you don't get to speak.
A guy doesn't go looking if he doesn't have one.
You're just some used up, washed up little whore.
And you look like you're going to church, so.
Oh, really? Really?
And see, this is what makes me feel so at home when I watch old Jerry Springer stuff. A white woman fighting with a black woman, a security guard here, there to ensure that it's a one-to-one fight and that they don't really hurt each other. The 90s were such a beautiful moment. There's a security guard, there's all sorts of things in place to make sure that this doesn't become a 30 black people dumping on the head of this girl, of this white girl, and cracking her cranium into the concrete floor. It is so beautiful. It was a day of peace. It was days of beauty and peace. See the equality? They give each other hits at equal rate. They touch each other at equal rate. There's no ganging of 30 black persons onto the white girl. Man, I miss those days.
Oh, look at that. Oh, that's cute. Your lipstick's kind of messed up. You might want to fix it.
Oh, your whole face messed up.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. I'm nostalgic of this era. This guy wants to meet a girl, but the girl is a transsexual, and it is so beautiful how the Jerry Springer show mounts the whole suspense around this.
My dreams. I've been talking to this girl on the internet for a while. I've actually been trying to save some money to go see this woman.
You talk to her online?
I go to the library, believe it or not, talk to this woman. I met her on MySpace, and she's a very beautiful woman. She's tall, skinny, she's red.
I met her on MySpace. You cannot make these jokes. You cannot write fiction that's as good as this.
Head, very beautiful woman.
Why don't we do it this way? Because you've never met her before.
Never met her.
Well, then I'm going to ask you to leave for a few moments. And we'll want to bring her out, let the audience meet her. And then we can both observe you two meeting, which will be a nice moment in your life. Okay? So if you would just leave her. We'll have you back in a moment. Thank you. So her name is Joby. Let's bring out Joby.
See, those were days where you could still be frustrated at the idea that your girlfriend is a guy. Those were beautiful days where it was a problem. You could have a show about learning it. In today's world, they would tell you, what's the problem with your girlfriend being a guy? She just has a dick. Are you bigoted against dicks?
Hi, Joby.
Hello, Jerry.
You met here, Brad, here on the internet.
Yes, we met on MySpace.
On MySpace. And what attracted you to him?
He was cute. He seemed very nice in the message he sent me.
Yeah. And you think this could be the one?
Yes.
And
but I have a secret to tell him.
You have a secret to tell him?
Yes.
And your secret is?
I'm a man, Jerry.
See, she doesn't say, I identify as a woman, but I was born a man. She just says, I'm a man. like, what would I give to be able to hear this from the current trans people? Just say it. You're a man. You have done some aesthetic changes to look like a woman. You're a man.
He says he wants to meet me, you know, he tried to get a bus ticket or whatever. Yeah. I said I'd just call the Jerry Springer show, you know, because then it'll give it more of a show.
Well, let's see what, you know, what his reaction is going to be. But you really care about him. This isn't just to play a trick on someone. You really want him to be okay with you. All right. Well, let's bring him out now. Okay, how about a nice hand? Let's bring him back now. Here's Brad.
How you doing?
So good to meet you.
It's kind of nervous on national TV, I know, but, like, I wanted to ask, like, maybe, like, you know, you could be my girlfriend.
Well, Brad, I have to tell you, I'm a man.
I'll try anything once.
Unbelievable. That's how it ends. But see the crowd feeling there? Whoa, it happened. Whoa. We don't get this anymore. We don't get people excited at the regular stuff of the world. There was this other case of an escort who is trans, falls in love. The guy falls in love with her, but she is a guy. And look at her. And now she says that she makes a life out of prostitution, blah, blah, blah. And the guy that shows, it's like, today we couldn't even feature this. It would be fatphobic to feature the reactions of Jerry Springer to this guy.
Hey, hey Christopher, how you doing?
Oh, doing good, Jerry.
Good. Welcome to the show. Why are you here?
I mean, well, Jerry, you know, I met a woman and...
You met a woman, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I fell in love and, you know, Jerry, I just really haven't had much luck with women. And
why? I can't imagine.
I don't know, I mean...
See, Jerry is standing right in the face of this guy with sarcasm. Why? I can't imagine. Like, you're fat and people are laughing. You don't get this anymore. You can't get this. You can't say this on YouTube.
I guess, you know, and... Let's see, in junior high and high school, I just never really dated much.
Yeah.
I may have had a couple girlfriends. You know, I was 18 when I kissed my first girl when I was 18. Yeah. And
when did you kiss your second one? I mean, what?
Oh, I don't know.
A few years later?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay. And, so you haven't...
You know, I'm 31, and, you know, I'm 31. Last week, I lost my virginity.
I cannot believe that this guy is 31. Aren't these gray hair? This guy is 31? What the fuck?
So I figured, you know, it was just, you know, time.
How was that for you?
It was a little nervous. It was a little nervous, you know, because I didn't really know quite what to do. So.
You didn't know what to do? Well, you knew what to do. I mean,
well, yeah, I've seen magazines and videos.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes in the back of the magazines, they even have directions. So.
This poor guy has lost his virginity at 31. With, well, he claims to be 31. 31 with a transsexual prostitute that he didn't know was transsexual.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were nervous about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then, but then afterwards, it was like, wow, this is great. I want to do this some more.
Oh, yeah. It was good.
Now, who did you do it with? In other words, was this a woman you met someplace or?
Oh. No, I decided, you know, a friend of mine just said, why don't you just go out and get an escort service, get over with, that way, you know what to do, and that way, maybe that'll help, and, you know, get
And
over.
That was the first, well, obviously, it was the first time you called an escort service.
Yeah.
Honestly.
All right, well, so he gets to face her and learns that she is a man.
Gorgeous,
she are indeed.
Yeah. John, it's been a week, and... You know, and I haven't seen you, and I've been calling you, and you got the pizza, right?
I got the pizza, but yeah. I only eat one cornflake a day.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't really like pizza.
Oh, okay. Well, you know,
but it was the thought that counted. It was sweet.
Yeah.
But, Chris, I just have to tell you, you know, that I don't think that we're meant to be, you know? I mean, you're a really nice guy, and you deserve a really good girl. You're a sweet guy, and you're very, you know, you have a very good sense of romance for a first time, and, you know, I think that, you know, if you find the right girl, you and her could really have a nice relationship. You're a really good guy.
Yeah. Well, I know, yeah. I thought, you know, if we go on a date and get to know me as a person and do that, you know. I thought,
but
you know,
we really, you know, you're not my type, sweetheart. I mean, you know, I'm an escort. I live a really wild lifestyle.
I don't care that you're an escort. I mean, how could I judge you on that? That's how I met you.
You look like a perfect 10 together when you stand up together.
I mean, how could I? No, I can't sit there and judge you because that's how I met you.
I know.
You're not going to be doing this the rest of your life.
I know, but, I mean, for the time being, there would be no way to develop a relationship. You know, I fly all over the world, yeah. You know, and, I mean...
I deliver pizzas all over town, so. Come on, you know? You can wait, and we can do stuff. You know, I thought we'd have a date. I'm just asking for a date. You think? Come on, one date, right?
Well...
Yeah, one date.
Appeal to the crowd fails.
You know, honestly... There's something, you know, that I need to tell you, and the only thing that we have in common together is that we were both born male.
I think this guy is an actor, to make these reactions like this. I think he's acting there.
But I've seen magazines, and that wasn't...
This was the first vagina he's ever seen. And so he cannot recognize the true vagina from a vaginoplasty.
So you were born a man?
A male.
Man, but that wasn't...
It's kind of like back to being a virgin again.
Yeah?
So that is the nice bridging by Jerry Springer. What a master of entertainment. Last clip, just to remind us of good times. A guy who wants to have a threesome with his girlfriend. So he presents the girl that he met. Who would be in for the threesome. They already tried in the past. It didn't work because they were drunk and she was alarmed at the idea of a threesome.
Trying to be like this?
Yes. Yes, I am. Ever since that day, I've been thinking about it. We didn't finish. You stormed out and you blamed me for it. And it was your idea. You insist that night. How many times did I tell you to go lay down? You had too much.
Lodazal says, I was more of a Dr. Phil after school kind of kid. Yeah, eventually you outgrow Jerry Springer and you get into Dr. Phil. But there was a good moment where I watched Jerry Springer.
Too much to drink. Go lay down, baby. You're drinking too much. And you didn't. You insisted. And then you got
insisted.
Jealous.
You insisted. I was done with this.
Yes, I want to do this. I'm 20 years old. I feel like we're too young to get married, really. But if you do this for me, I will do that
so
for you.
So you're giving me an ultimatum. Either I do this or we don't get married?
Just give it a chance. Let's just try it. Just give it a chance.
Well, let's bring out Caleb.
Again, fights that don't hurt people. I miss this. I miss where you don't have the vicious knock on the cranium with a baseball bat or something.
Stop. Danielle, come here.
No,
stop.
No, you did this. This is your fault. You had to bring her into this
and
ruin our
relationship.
And you
brought that other girl.
It's just a threesome.
Because it's my life. It doesn't matter what you think about it.
Were you not the one who suggested a threesome in the first place?
No. Okay. It's all him. What about He's the first bringing up threesome? Everything.
He don't want to be tied down, Danielle.
I mean, I do. I want to do this.
Keep him on
I
want to
do this with both of us before we settle down.
All right, so what's the problem?
No. You want to just explore things and then try to marry me after you're done doing what you need to do?
Didn't we go exploring the first threesome?
And did it work out well for either one of us?
So when it's my idea, it's a bad idea? I'm gonna do it without alcohol, without a party.
So that makes it better.
Yeah, let's do it right this time. Now, let's do it somewhere
relaxed. How did you feel the first time you...
All right, so, well, I'm really nostalgic of these beautiful days. I would love... if we could have good things like this on the internet. And reality TV has always been a fascination to me, whether it's scripted or not, whether some of them may have been real human emotions, some of them may have been just scripted scenarios and actors. I really don't care, because it gave a taint of truth to the performance that was making the audience, that was making me feel what was happening as real. And yes, it was the golden age, peak America, Joe Blixam. It was peak America. Yes, and Fish Tank is something I've seen pass on social media, but I don't know what it is. You guys are telling me that Fish Tank is something by Sam Hyde, that he does a... that he does a reality TV show of some kind. Steven Robinson says, Sam just kicked a pedo off a Fish Tank. Okay. I'm going to have to watch it, because I like Sam Hyde and I like reality TV. And so if Sam Hyde has gotten into producing reality TV, I'm going to have to watch it. And he kicked a pedo. that must be interesting. Cloud Warmer says, Fish Tank is Big Brother with a house full of autists, Jeff. Well, that sounds that sounds like what I've always been needing. And it's a live stream 24/7. Wow, Fish Tank. I mean, I've been seeing memes on social media past, but I didn't realize it was this. Blanket says, Jeff, you should watch Impractical Jokers. I don't know what that is. Nicholas Petris is asking if I've seen Fish Tank. No, I haven't, but I had heard about... I have heard people memeing about it, and I was like, what is this? What is Fish Tank? Colin Oxworth says, it's 8 random people in a house, and you can donate to fuck with them, like swap all the items in the fridge and freezer, or make the house cold. Oh my God, he's integrated all these kind of super chat interventions. Wow. Well, bravo, Sam Hyde. I think that you know, IRL streaming had not evolved to its peak. This whole idea of just going in the streets with a speaker and letting people super chat stuff, to me, that's always been, it fell short of something innovative. But I knew that there would be something like this that could be interesting. And in terms of audience interaction with a real setup, with real human beings, it's pretty innovative the way you guys describe it. Blanket says, it's actually a hidden camera TV show with our 4 best friends from high school who do challenges, JF. Yeah, okay. Interesting. T.S. Apostolos says, Fish Tank 2.0 will be a real deal. What will be the difference between 2.0 and 1.0? But, you know, as a fan, it's amazing, because I've been a fan of fish tanks, literally, observing fish in aquariums and having them breed and establish a nest and everything. And when you think about it, this whole anthropological drive is what reality TV has been tapping into. Tillman says, Jeff, YouTube keeps dropping the stream. Oh, well, that is too bad, because with Sam Hyde, it is something to be expected. I'm sure he's going to be too edgy for YouTube, but he should have an alternative solution if he's serious about this project. So all in all, Jerry Springer is now dead. He has been, I believe, fighting cancer for a couple of months or years. And a man is gone. He was definitely, I believe he's been a Democrat politician. So he was definitely on the left and pushing a form of white trash conception of white America that would be politically, if you analyze what he has done politically, it totally plays in the hand of the degenerate left. So I'm not saying that what he was featuring was good for society, but it was entertaining, and he tapped into something that was visually appealing, that was entertaining for the mind to me, and that was showing you a face of America that I wouldn't have known about. Like, just the accent of these people. They seem to come from deep within America. I wouldn't have heard this accent ever in my life if it wasn't of Jerry Springer. Someone shared a meme about tits or get the fuck out. A beautiful explanation on 4chan. If I can pontificate a bit for your edification. One of the rules of the internet is there are no girls on the internet. This rule does not mean what you think it means. In real life, people like you for being a girl. They want to fuck you, so they pay attention to you and they pretend what you have to say is interesting or that you are smart or clever. On the internet, we don't have the chance to fuck you. This means the advantage of being a girl does not exist. You don't get a bonus to conversation just because I'd like to put my cock in you. When you make a post like, I'm a girl, you are begging for attention. The only reason to post it is because you want your girl advantage back, because you are too vapid and too stupid to do or say anything interesting without it. You are forgetting the rules. There are no girls on the internet. The one exception to this rule, the one way you can get your girlness back on the internet, is to post your tits. This is and should be degrading for you. An admission that the only interesting thing about you is your naked body. TLDR, tits, or get the fuck out. What a beautiful statement that summarizes the situation with women on the internet. This afternoon, I've been on the Missing Link podcast. Jesse Hall seems to be kind of a conspiratorial type of guy. It was a fun interview. He didn't go super deep, but he was throwing questions around on various subjects, COVID, censorship, the revolutionary phenotype. So it was good talking to him, and he seems to be into these ideas around fluoride and chemtrails. Always good to talk with someone like that. Jeremy Carl was publishing some information about the trans politician who got kicked from, you know, this person from the Montana House member, Zoe Zephyr, who has said you have blood on your hands for passing this anti-trans law. And apparently this person is very excited around transhumanism. So I think we're starting to see, they have a full post where they talk about their fascination with transhumanist themes in Middle Ages and Renaissance, fascination with mechanical clocks, modifications of the human body in various forms. So I think we're starting to see the nebulous alliance between the LGBT community and the transhumanist. Two ways to fight against nature, in a way. Blanket says, I guess he doesn't have a channel on Odyssey, JF. I don't know what's the fish tank arrangement. Do they have their own website where they stream? I don't know. Cremier says, autism, has it increased? I don't know. You don't either. Why? because autistics today are diagnosed with lower autism symptom scores than autistics in previous generation. So look at this. The percentage of people diagnosed with autism is increasing since 1992 to 2002, but the autism symptom score is decreasing. So we have more and more autists that are less and less autistic. I knew that it had to do with the diagnostic criteria, but I didn't know that this data was available, that it definitely shows we've been simply less severe at including, at passing the threshold to be included in the autistic category. The trans child, Jazz Jennings, has been listening to Matt Walsh commenting on her situation. Matt Walsh responded to her, "Jazz Jennings, since the earliest moments of your childhood, the adults in your life have lied to you. They told you that you were sick and then they exploited you. You deserve the truth and I'm telling it to you, even if it hurts to hear."
Mother brainwashed this kid into doing this, and now she's going to keep that brainwash going. So he may never fully come to terms with what happened to him, at least as long as his disgusting, wretched mother is still alive.
It's just really hard to watch that. I don't know why people, like, are so intent on bringing our community down. Like, why do you care? Let us just be. Let us be happy. Let us be ourselves. We're not hurting anyone. You know, we need to celebrate each other and our diversity.
Well, if you are trying to recruit people to your movement, you may be hurting people, and you are hurting people if you direct them toward a lifestyle.
Someone lied to me.
Where it is likely that they will suffer mentally and physically from it.
Not bring each other down. Anytime you're wishing death on anyone, I think you need to take a step back and look at yourself and your, you know, whatever's going on with you. My mom is not the abuser. People like him are the ones abusing us by saying these awful negative things about our community.
You've been put, first, the way Jazz Jennings talks about our community, this is not natural thinking for a young child, even for a young adult. You shouldn't have spent your teenage years be used as the token person for a cause at the expense of your own capacities and your own self-destruction.
You know, we are under attack, and it is clear in this video that there are people out there who want to hurt us, who want to see us fail, who want to see us be miserable, and that's really fucked up because we're not wishing that upon anyone. We just want people to open their eyes and see that we are beautiful, everyone is beautiful, and everyone deserves to be their authentic self. Our messages are about love, about positivity, and just to see someone like this saying such negative things, it's hurtful, it sucks.
Well, it is very unjust what was done to you by your mother. She has exploited you for narcissistic purposes, and we can see it in just your behavior. Fully reveals an abuse that has been happening, which is that you don't have children like you emerging into their young life and being like, "We are under attack." But you talk like John Connor a little bit. Like the way Sarah Connor raised John Connor to be always alert to threats, always alert to the to an attack on the resistance, always thinking that there's a Terminator out there. You have the John Connor symptoms here. That's why we're worried about you.
Whole life I have faced bullying. I have faced people, you know, attacking me and my identity, and I just wish people would let me be. You know, why do you?
Well, you can be whatever you want, but can we talk about whether this applied to anyone else would be a problem, and we would intervene and we would try for it not to happen where possible?
Ooh, it's so frustrating.
Now, I was going to respond to this just sort of in general terms, but I think instead I'd like to be more direct. Jazz has addressed me directly, asked some questions, and I'd like to answer them. So, Jazz, first of all, I understand why you're frustrated that people are talking about you and from your perspective, involving themselves in your private life. You are absolutely right that your conversation with your mother that we saw there about your own deep emotional and psychological pains should not have been a public spectacle. I never should have seen that or heard it. Nobody should have. But I didn't make it a public spectacle. And I didn't make you into a public figure. Your mom did that. She did it way before you could have possibly...
Excellent point by Matt Walsh. Ultimately, she has been turned into a public figure at an age that it is impossible that she would have consented to it. So she was put under care from her mother. She was put into a situation to be a public figure. And not only this, was put in a situation where the whole progression through that sex change experience was socially rewarded. Because you can't, when you're a public person, you cannot distinguish between the various rewarding events. It all comes to you all at once. Either I'm doing good, my show is doing good, I'm being successful, or not. And then you know what you've done, but you don't know exactly, oh, this was good. You just know that something I'm doing works. And the problem in that setup is that you've created a rewarding loop where Jess Jennings, the more she was going toward balls cutting and surgery, the more she was receiving waves of support and waves of attention. So to be a mother and put your child in that circumstance is absolutely abusive. Dan Simmons says, look how progressive I am. Yeah, and you can see in her language that she is always recruiting this as a kind of defensive reaction. She is recruiting this as the movement. You shouldn't feel solidarity with the movement when you are in this golden age of your life where you can pursue your own personal interest. You shouldn't feel that you are carrying this burden on your shoulder. And certainly you shouldn't feel rewarded socially for self-destroying your ability to breed. Corey Swan has posted the price movements that look very unnatural on Binance. He says, here's a great visual to help you see what their market makers do to fake demand for worthless tokens. The reason we could see it on the chart is because Binance halted trading on FTX but left their own market-making bots running. I didn't know this. That's fascinating. I don't know if the claim is real, but you would have had Binance halting the trading, but somehow their internal system was keeping the buy up, and you can see it behave in a very linear fashion. It's interesting to know that there may be these background moves that are not imposed on the market by the everyday person, the consumer, but that are imposed by the exchanges. John Drake says, when is reality going to slap this perversion down? I think a 1929-style depression will do the trick. Yeah, if people can be confronted to unsustainability, perhaps people will get back to concentrating on their real selves and not pursuing those extremely costly and unreproductive ways of living. Someone got their post on Reddit deleted. He was asking, too afraid to ask, why is it borderline impossible to discuss trends as a topic? And he was saying, look, I'm not anti-trends or anything, but why can't we raise the issue if we disagree with something from the mainstream view? If we want to talk about Matt Walsh and his documentary, What is a Woman? We always get censored. Well, even him asking this question at Too Afraid to Ask was censored. So it looks like Reddit is really not the place to have free conversation. Meanwhile, Elon is cracking down on pedophilia on Twitter. there was an account that had invented a pedophilia flag. He was saying, I figured why not use today to unveil the youth attracted person pride flag I designed almost a year ago. I wanted to stray from the oft-used horizontal bars motif, but only a little. I wanted to retain some familiarity. And this person who has developed the pedo flag has now been banned by Elon Musk, not tolerated on this platform. Isn't it beautiful? Because there was literally in the Twitter rules before Elon came in that pedophilia was okay as long as you're not discussing actually doing it. This is one of the unbelievable thing that the old Twitter regime brought to us. But a rule that was saying literally, it's okay to be attracted to minors and discuss it on Twitter, but you can't talk about putting it into action. Well, why? How is sharing your desires for pedophilia, how is that not some sort of plan for action? I mean, you are fictitiously talking about things that you would potentially do in the future, that you may be about to do. And somehow they had this criteria that, oh, he did talk about fucking children, but he didn't say he was gonna fuck them. It's like, holy shit, I wish I had this distinction for white supremacy. Can you imagine this? It's okay to be a white supremacist as long as you don't act on it. Aaron McIntyre says, I've been explicitly warning that trans ideology and civil rights law would be the vector of attack on the family. Many conservatives decried this, terrified to address this sacred cow. But you better find the courage because it's happening. DOJ civil rights reports, Justice Department challenges the Tennessee law that bans critical medically necessary care for transgender youth. This is going to be a very important battle because the question is, can a state decide to live differently from the Democrats in the handling of the whole trans issue and trans medical treatment? Because health is supposed to be a state issue. So really, the federal government gets into health from the back door a little bit, because they get into health by saying, well, it's interstate commerce of medications, and we can control interstate commerce. So here's the FDA. And the FDA will decide what's good and bad for interstate commerce of medication. But technically, they are not allowed to manage the health systems of states, because the Constitution says if your responsibility is not mentioned in the Constitution federally, then it belongs to the states. So I hope that we can have states that say, hey, here, we don't think that transsexual surgery is the thing that everyone should get, or that anyone should get, in fact. And I think that our justices of the Supreme Court have set up for such a victory of the right, because they have started being very loose about civil rights in leftist states, saying, you know what, if a leftist state decide that there's a mask mandate, there's a mask mandate. I hope that this was kind of pearls that we were accumulating in a bank, and that the justices are ready now to unleash those pearls onto this question, where they can say, hey, we let New York impose their vaccines and their masks to people. We're gonna let Tennessee decide what they want to do with trans care. That would be beautiful. It would be a victory that would secure a right-wing way of living with all of the rewards of it, including increased birth rate, increased reproductivity, and the banishing basically of liberals from these states. They will basically self-select out of these states. Relict says, did Ensom Truth get banned from Odyssey? I have heard this. He's never a man I've really respected, so I'm not alarmed. I don't see it as a big issue of free speech, because he's always been a troll, operating armies of troll, being very annoying to people on the internet, jumping on every possible meme of edginess and not having anything to contribute intelligent to the conversation. So I did hear on Twitter that he was banned on Odyssey, and I don't care. I don't care. I don't care about this guy. It's always been, to me, he's always been giving the signs of of a dishonest actor in this domain, and someone that I've never been interested in. My only contact with him was that at some point when I was a streamer, he was sending his crowds to harass me, and they were yelling in the chat, Goyim Defense League, and that kind of stuff. And I was like, this is very childish, not a very interesting man. And I've watched his videos, and back then he was wearing those glasses to try to remain anonymous, I guess. And I found nothing of interest. I found a troll who was mostly interested in trolling the internet. Senator Elizabeth Warren is talking against Bitcoin, a massive problem you have unearthed. And so we don't know how many miners there are. We don't know where they are. Many of them, a lot of them, are just underground. Some of them are small operators. Well, you got it, Elizabeth Warren, as Pierre Rochard was reminding people. You got it. That is the decentralized nature of Bitcoin. You don't know, you won't trace these people. Well, you could potentially trace these people, but they are too distributed for you to pursue as a politician, and that's exactly what we want. People are talking to me about the Governor DeSantis signing a Floridian law in Israel. Keith Woods was saying American hate speech bills being signed into law in Israel now. While in Israel, Florida Governor DeSantis signed the Florida anti-hate speech bill into law. The bill aims to crack down on anti-Semitic and other heritage-based threats. That is absolutely ridiculous. I'm sure they won't be able to police speech only based on this, because speech is well protected under the First Amendment in America. But I'm sure they have all these detoured way of, if you commit a crime and this crime is combined with hate speech, then they're going to say, well, it's a hate crime. So it's probably what's going to happen. And yeah, that kind of sellout attitude of Ron DeSantis is what really makes me take a step back from him and say, okay, well, you know, I've said positive things about him, and I love his attitude with medical liberty and other things, so social conservatism. But we're definitely not here with someone who could operate a true draining of the swamp. He is giving the signals of being as much of a puppet as all previous presidents. Miss Joe says, white woman, what on earth? What is wrong with their lives that they have to medicate so much? Sold the dream of you can have it all, and then find out that having a fading career and two cats is not enough. Apparently, I didn't know this, that white woman above 45, in raw numbers, are by far the most consumers of antidepressant, beyond 8 million adults, whereas white men are just above 3 million. Now, this is not proportionate representation, so there can be some things that are deceptive here. Some people were pointing out that, you know, white men have a higher suicide rate. So a lot of the white men who have died through suicide will not be accounted for in this statistic. That is interesting to note. Also, the fact that it's not a proportional representation, it makes difficult the comparison to minority women, because how many people per capita in the woman 45 plus category would take antidepressant? Perhaps it would be the exact same number as white women. But I was saying anyway. They get what they deserve, honestly. They're the ones who chose the welfare state, divorce, childlessness, or very few children, and they pursued their dream of becoming a useless cog in the labor market and sexually polygamous. Let them fully live through this hell. That is my position. Let them have the consequences of their choices. They have chosen the world as it is. They have influenced it toward its leftist direction, toward the destruction of the family. If anything, I would say don't give them antidepressant. Let them suffer it through in full. Lorenza has shared an amazing video where there are people who are, you know, protesters welcoming refugees. And there's a guy on camera who's asking them, hey, would you like to lend your apartment? I'm creating a list of people willing to welcome the refugees in their home.
It's your placard saying refugees welcome here. Yes, I'm just wondering if you'd like to go down on a list saying you're willing to take the refugees into your home.
Of course, sir. Only problem is I rent.
You rent?
Yeah.
Maybe an issue?
Yeah, because they've got, well, they put 9 bedrooms in a 4-bedroom house, so we're pretty much
jam-filled. So, to actually adopt a refugee and take them into your home?
Well, if I had any space, I
if
would.
If you had
but
any
yeah,
space.
It wouldn't be right. A nice place to bring them, because yeah. It's a bit overcrowded.
Right.
But yes, if I had the space, definitely.
Thank you very much for that, love. Pop one into your home.
If only I had the place. The first guy was funny. He answered immediately, oh, yes, well, yeah, why not? Oh, well, thinking about it, I'm not sure. My apartment is small.
I live in a rental place, so I can't.
Rental?
Yeah, yeah.
You can't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone else's job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, I can't.
You can't take one.
I don't have a space.
We'll have a refugee stay at your house.
Yeah, I don't mind.
You'll go on the list?
I don't mind, yeah, I can't take him in the thing. Oh, wait, I can't, because my house is only a little small. And
amazing. Now, would you be willing to have a refugee in your own?
Yes, if I had room.
If you had room,
it's funny that.
To adopt a refugee?
No, thank you.
No, thank you. Any reason?
These people have signs that say, welcome refugees, you are welcome, blah, blah, blah. They are really welcome with the resources of someone else. There is a text, an interesting text by Richard Spencer, Cultivated Helplessness. Tucker Carlson speaks. He gives a comment on this Tucker Carlson intervention. So Tucker Carlson published a Twitter video, which is his first contact with the public directly since he has been pushed away from his host position at Fox News. Let's listen a little bit.
One of the first things you realize when you step outside the noise for a few days is how many genuinely nice people there are in this country. Kind and decent people, people who really care about what's true, and a bunch of hilarious people also, a lot of those. It's got to be the majority of the population, even now. So that's heartening. The other thing you notice when you take a little time off is how unbelievably stupid most of the debates you see on television are. They're completely irrelevant. They mean nothing. In 5 years, we won't even remember that we had them. Trust me, as someone who's participated. And yet at the same time, and this is the amazing thing, the undeniably big topics, the ones that will define our future, get virtually no discussion at all. War, civil liberties, emerging science, demographic change, corporate power, natural resources. When was the last time you heard a legitimate debate about any of those issues?
We keep doing these debates, Tucker, since the Bloodsports days down to the modern day debate channel. But yeah, there's the problem that people are fighting against these debates. rising to the level of popularity that they did in a natural environment in 2016.
It's been a long time. Debates like that are not permitted in American media. Both political parties and their donors have reached consensus on what benefits them, and they actively collude to shut down any conversation about it. Suddenly, the United States looks very much like a one-party state. That's a depressing realization, but it's not permanent. Our current orthodoxies won't last. They're brain dead. Nobody actually believes them. Hardly anyone's life is improved by them.
So basically, it's like, let's talk about the real things. There's a valid critique. I like what the direction that Tucker is taking here. But Richard Spencer is right that here we have a guy saying nothing, basically, but saying we must talk about the real thing. And it makes me think of how, how they present in movies these hosts. Like, this host is going to talk to you about the real thing, the real subject that matter, the truth. And they end up saying nothing. It's a little bit what Tucker is doing here. But I do hope that this is all a dog whistle, because he did say demographics. And I do hope that Tucker here is dog whistling that he is about to start a kind of blood sports arena of sorts. He wants to have real debates about immigration and race, and perhaps even invite someone like me on his platform. All I will say is, personally, I understand that this is very bland in terms of a speech, but at the same time, it's giving the notes that perhaps are telling us what Tucker Carlson is envisioning long-term for his contribution. And oh my God, would I love to be in those wooden panels, have Tucker as a neutral arbiter of, a neutral moderator, and have some leftist in front of me that I can argue not with the cuttings of the mic that we have in Twitter spaces and on the Mario Nafal show. Taking the time to explore an issue, I would love if Tucker can make something like that. And I'm excited at what Tucker will do, especially since he's mentioned demographics. Now, Richard Spencer weirdly says Tucker is notorious for peddling the great replacement theory, the idea that through immigration and self-loathing, whites are being gradually replaced demographically and culturally in their homelands. It's not clear to me what this paragraph means. Is Richard saying it's a conspiracy theory and it's not true? Or is he saying it's true, but Tucker is newly trying to surf on this? It's not clear to me. What is Richard Spencer telling us here? Because it does seem that in the past, Richard had spoken for the idea that, yes, white people are demographically a threat. He's more like talking on the side issue here. He's running around the pot in a way. He says, but that's not really the point. The real question is what attracts Tucker to doctrines like this. Is he secretly a white nationalist prophesying a coming middle American revolt, or does his fascination with GRT derived from something else? It is, in fact, the cultivated helplessness of the doctrine that most appealed to him. I'm having difficulty following exactly what Richard is saying here. In any case, I'm personally very enthusiastic about Tucker and whatever he will do going forward. Some random bloke says, Tucker's best piece ever, was when he read out the one state solution proposal reaction by the ADL, complete with high birth rates for Arabs, and Jews would quickly become a hated minority in Israel. They actually took the piece down from their website after he mentioned it. Yeah, he played here on a theme that we've been exploring a lot on the right, which is take the demographic concerns and how they are treated in Israel versus how they are treated when it's white people here, and there are serious differences. Reuters report exclusive: Peter Thiel, Republican mega donor, won't fund candidates in 2024. That's kind of a weird news. Peter Thiel, to me, has always been... I didn't know much about him. I didn't know he was gay, for example. It's always a billionaire or millionaire that I've heard about who was paying a lot of causes on the right wing, a lot of pro-Republican causes and Republican-related causes. And I've never been attracted to him and never been interested by what he was doing. He's never a guy that I thought I could get money from either. So to me, he's always been this kind of, okay, he's like the George Soros of the Republicans. But he's gay also. And he is... When the right goes too far, for example, now he's annoyed at what he thinks is too much extremism in the Republican Party. They went too far for him, so now he's not supporting them anymore. But basically, that's the role of a gatekeeper. You are playing the role of a gatekeeper when your kind of stable goes too far from your interest. And now you don't want the right to go for President Trump, don't want the right to be defending the things that the Donald Trump and Laura Loomer are fighting for, and you don't like the people like Nick Fuentes, and you don't like the people in the Republican Party that are kind of close or kind of sympathetic to these personalities. Well, basically, you are therefore someone like Peter Thiel must have been behind setting up the Republican Party for failure, setting up the right wing for failure in America. So good riddance. I mean, stop taking his money. If anything, if he has that attitude, when a winning strategy shows, when a winning argument shows, it means that he's merely been a force of weakening of the right. He was weakening the right from the inside. Spud Ruckus says, Jeff, forgive me if you already covered it. I am just catching the second half of the show and will have to watch the rest later. Did you see that the trans shooter manifesto is going to be released? I didn't know this. Very excited. I am waiting for it. The day it gets released, unless it gets released exactly at 6 p.m. Eastern time, if it gets released somewhere during the day, I'm absolutely certain that I'm making a show about it. I've been wanting to analyze this trans shooter manifesto for a long time now. Amazon soars after smashing expectations, guiding higher. So apparently Amazon profit margin is increasing. They have succeeded, and I'm super happy for Amazon. They have succeeded at cutting their loss a little bit and continuing their success. Millennial Woes says to John Grisdale, sounds like you don't fit in here at all. Mass emigration hasn't worked out. And John was answering, yep, made a mess of America and Australia. Should have left those countries to their native population. Millennial Rose says, made a mess of Western Europe. Should have left those countries to their native populations. John answers, everyone in Britain is an immigrant if they trace their ancestry back. Oh my God, this is such a classic pro-immigration argument. Millennial Wells says, so are the natives of America and Australia not also immigrants? Or does this only apply to white people? And John says, they were first out of Africa to populate those countries. And Millennial Wells answers in his finally, well, and Europeans were the first out of Africa to populate European countries, right? I love this mix that the English thinkers are doing between the conception of a native and white people in Europe. Because that's what it is. You know, it's our birthplace. We haven't found white people elsewhere that didn't come from Europe. So truly, Europe is the birthplace of white people. And the further north you go, the whiter they are. So definitely, we are the natives of Europe. And I love how Millennial Woes, Mark Collett does some of it. They are treating with the word native, you're triggering a lot of leftist reactions. They are triggering a lot of leftist reactions of empathy and care for the natives and for their special rights. And it is beautiful that we can trigger these reactions and exploit it to a pro-white discourse. Spud Ruckus has shared this article from the Post-Millennial, Nashville Trendshooter School's manifesto to be released by authorities. The manifesto left by Nashville Covenant School shooter Audrey Hall may soon be released to the public. The investigation has advanced to the point that writings from the Covenant shooter are now being reviewed for public release. That process is underway and will take a little time. Okay, so we don't know exactly when it will be released, but I really want to understand. And I've been reviewing the manifestos of basically all important shootings in America. Anything that could give us political insight into their political thinking. So I will, of course, do it for this one. I was finding it very unjust and unfair that because we have a leftist shooter basically here, we were hidden from the truth. Let's see it. Let's discuss it. I hope it happens soon. What else do we have before we close the show? This guy keeps publishing claims. Justice Department sources tell ISN that Hunter Biden's arrest is imminent, developing, breaking. But again, this guy keeps publishing claims that, why is this guy knowing all of this? And I don't know that he's had anyhow interesting score in terms of successes of these predictions and sources. So I don't know if we can take this for a serious report at this point. Lyft terminates 36% of workers since November. There are some companies that must cut the extra fat. I am thankful that they are doing it. Andrew Tate, his face is swollen. His body is having a skin reaction. He doesn't know why. Some sort of severe reaction or poison. Some of his staff members were saying perhaps a crazy attack from the Matrix or whatever. Maybe someone wants him dead. The speculations abound, but he was publishing this video this morning. I don't know what that is. It looks like it could be kind of an anaphylactic kind of reaction. Allergic reaction of some kind, autoimmune reaction. All of this is very serious. And they were saying that he doesn't want to go see the doctor. I mean, you do whatever you want. If you want to die, go for it, you know. But these reactions can be quite serious. They can lead to death. And if you cannot get them under control, and there are medications available to shut down the immune reactions of your body. It's not clear because he says he hasn't taken anything special. I'm looking though at the tattoos. Maybe a reaction to ink. Did he get a tattoo recently? Or maybe totally unrelated to the tattoos. These autoimmune disorders, they just show spontaneously. Did he get the vaccine? Tillman says, JF, did he get the vaccine? Possibility, total possibility here. I don't know. He hasn't revealed anything more. Stephen Robinson says, Tate is scared a doctor will poison him further. Well, you do have to have a doctor that you trust when you're a celebrity. But, you know, it's not all doctors are corruptible. There are some very good doctors out there. I have a very good doctor. I can trust him in full, and I'm super happy with that doctor. So you can find someone like this. But I don't know, does Andrew, maybe they've seized so much things from him. Does he still have money? Can he still travel? Because perhaps his best doctor are outside of the country. Perhaps he cannot trust a doctor inside Romania. The WHO stealth edited vaccine info to help Twitter censor Tucker Carlson. So they do this. They get Tucker Carlson to say something, and then they modify their website. And then they're like, oh, well, now this is misinformation. So see the whole YouTube that had decided to make what the WHO says is the truth. So you have a whole conspiracy here. The WHO has something on their website. Tucker Carlson, you know, does his show. He talks about this and that. Now, his statement by the current standard of the WHO may be correct, but the WHO goes and stealth edits their own website. Now, suddenly what Tucker Carlson was saying is not the truth anymore. It's not what the WHO is saying anymore. And now you have the censors of Twitter are able to go at Tucker Carlson's video or Tucker Carlson's tweet, and they're able to say, well, this violates the WHO. This is the danger. We are giving leverage to irresponsible, unaccountable organizations when we make this kind of rule that says the WHO has the truth about the vaccine. The CDC has the truth about the vaccine. We should never do this again. There's a beautiful article by Millennial Woes on Substack. And you know, Millennial Woes is a personal friend of mine. But I've always been wondering, what the fuck is it with this guy? Why is he popular at all? Like, his aesthetic is kind of extremely dark purple. And his videos are not particularly interesting. The number of interviews that he does in the Millennial is just too much human beings, just too much Millennial Woes. But what I'm discovering on reading his Substack is that the man is a beautiful writer. He writes beautifully. Like, he writes above quality of your usual blog post on the internet. I just wanted to show you a paragraph that to me is a very stunning, very beautiful writing here by Millennial Woes. He says, to look at any particular leftist is to face the question, is this one of the ones who led the kulags to their execution, or who pleaded with those ones to be merciful, or who pulled the trigger, or who wrote the media lies justifying each liquidation, or who avoided all of that unpleasantness by having a job in the nomenclatura, spending every day busying himself with abstractions? I love this. It's true. When you're faced with these normies, these leftists, they could be any of this. They could be the one turning to be the killer. You know, many of them, you can see their hate. You can see that in a certain situation, they would hatefully shoot at a man for thinking something wrong. You can see that hate in some of them, but sometimes you can't see this, and sometimes they're more like the technocratic type who will just want to receive order and will just want a regime that tells him what to do. And that is so beautifully captured by Millennial Woes' writing. If you like this kind of writing, I'm totally referring you to his Substack. This article was about a kind of nostalgia of a TV moment. He tells the story of the TV moment of this guy. This guy talking, you know, he was a leftist in the 90s, talking against censorship, rises from the crowd and starts talking against censorship. And it's fascinating how the left has totally converged away from this, and they have dropped the mask, and they are no more anti-censorship. So his article is "The Right on Left and the Woke Left." Some random bloke says, "Did you see Medieval World's article on Richard Dawkins, JF?" I think I saw it pass on my Telegram, but I haven't read it. Are you telling me I should? I will certainly go read it. And that is it for today. Jan Miles Chung was sharing some info about Tucker Carlson. By the way, a lot of people are getting wrong the number of views on Twitter Carlson. There was someone on the chat earlier who was saying that he has 100 million views. That's not true. Let me give you, and he may reach 100 million views, okay? But let me go check to give you the current data. He has 20 million views on the video. Never be misled by 67 million views here. That is the impressions of the tweet. The listening of the video is at 20 million views. So there are some people who see the tweet pass in their timeline, and they're not listening to the video, so they don't count as a video viewer. That being said, Jan Miles Chung was sharing some info. Actually, this leftist guy was complaining. He was saying one of the mysteries of Twitter is how little engagement there is as compared to people on the site. Only one out of 700 people who saw Tucker's tweet left a comment. Only one out of 276 retweeted it, and only one out of 70 pressed the like button. This is a guy who's perhaps hostile to the Twitter success, because those are beautiful numbers. When you consider that people live with Twitter, people live with Twitter as their news feed. When you understand this, you understand that, of course, not a big percentage of people will end up commenting. That's people are rolling through the feed and getting the update and news all the time. There is a lot of passive users of this website who are just here to live on Twitter. They're not here to display something. They're not trying to gather attention to their account. They are just here to listen and to be recipient of Twitter culture. So those numbers, to me, are not indicating of a failure of Twitter. To the contrary, the fact that Tucker Carlson has had more hairs receive his video in the last day than he ever did on any single night on Fox News, that shows you that, as someone was commenting on social media, Elon has bought the future. Elon has bought the future of media. And it is beautiful to see. It is absolutely beautiful. And I hope to see some creative stuff coming out of this from Tucker Carlson. That is it for tonight, Buzz. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.